7 o'clock. Good morning, Pyle. Nothing like starting out with a Felsky right out of the gate this morning. Jim, along with the Buckeye.
I was like, what in the world? I can hear you talking, but I don't hear anything in my headphones.
You see my lips moving.
Like, but hearing nothing otherwise. Glass, like yeah. A stone sour, but not through the headphones. I was like,
oh, that was nice. Thank you, Corey Taylor. Appreciate that. All right. It is Thursday. It's a busy day. Chance to play the Pyle's favorite game on a Thursday, which is, of course... Oh, come on. We can do better than that. Come on. Here we go. Busy day.
Yep.
Mark Johnson, voice of Buffaloes, will join us from Tucson, Colorado, and Arizona tonight on the Pac-12 Hardwood. Pregame starts at 8:30, so we'll have Mark. Fingers crossed.
Yes. What?
Mark went on that roadie to Oregon.
And just hung out in Eugene for a few hours.
Yeah, hung out in the hotel and... Then got back in the plane and came back home.
Yep.
So we're assuming we'll have Colorado at Arizona tonight. Pac-12 play. Pregame at 8:30 on the team. CSU Rams, they bounce back after getting punked by San Diego State by 30 on Saturday. The Rams get the win last night. Take down Utah State. David Roddy with a big night for the Rams.
They needed to bounce back.
Yes, they did in a big, big way. Mm-hmm. And they take down a good Utah State team last night. So I have a lot to get to on the program this morning. The emerging ownership showdown or potential ownership showdown between the two greatest Bronco quarterbacks of all time. No, and I'm not talking about Steve Tensi or Brian Griese going at it. Just kidding.
I love Steve DeBerg.
Or Steve DeBerg going up against Steve Berline. No.
Yeah. Joe Flacco. Case Keenum.
No, that.
Kendall Hinton.
Kendall. Sean Moore. Tommy Maddox and Sean Moore. That the Duke of Denver, John Elway, against the Sheriff, Peyton Manning, that each guy is going to be involved in different ownership groups that will make their bids to buy the Broncos.
Let's get ready to rumble. That's how you say
Let's
it.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Just give them a pair of boxing gloves, stuff them with as much cash as you can fit in them, and then just punch each other.
Now, Woody Page of the Gazette says six different groups plan on bidding for the Broncos ownership, with Peyton Manning and John Elway expected to be in different groups. Mm-hmm. Troy Rink of Denver 7 made the comment that it's not a popularity contest because it is a bid. Highest bid wins. I mean, they don't. Joe Ellis and the Broncos trustees who are put in charge of handing over the reins to somebody else. It's not, well, geez, Jeff Bezos, you guys have the higher bid, but look at the ties that John Elway and Peyton Manning have.
Mm-hmm. That's not going to matter at all.
Not going to matter at all. It's going to be who has the highest bid.
The NFL wants money.
They want money. And that's how this is going to be resolved. So you have to take your emotions out of it. So here's a question I'll throw out for the Pyle today on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. 970-242-1340. Who would you rather have own the Broncos or be part of the ownership group? They will not own the Broncos themselves. They'll be part of a group. Would you rather have Elway or Manning? There was a point where Pat Bowlen did offer Elway a share in the Broncos back in the day toward the end of his career. And all reports are that Elway turned him down on that. So now he wants to own the team or be part of the ownership group. Who would you rather have? Because there has been a strong sense that if it's Peyton Manning, Peyton's going to be a pretty active guy.
Yeah.
John already is the head of football operations, stepped down from being the GM. He already has a role on this team. Currently employed. But what are you more excited about? Elway and an ownership group? Or Manning and the Manning family and an ownership group? I got to go with PFM. I got to go with the Mannings. No offense to the Duke, but there needs to be new blood in the organization.
Yeah,
and Manning would be, and I think Manning would be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
New blood, if you will, in a different role with the Broncos.
I'm with you a lot because, you know, under John's tenure, that they've had, what, two winning seasons? Three? Since he was promoted to actual honest-to-God GM.
Right.
Which was, what, 2014 when he took over for Brian Zander? They had the 12-4, the 12-4, 12-4, 9-7. And then the last 5 years have been sub-500. And that's on his watch. But there's a part of me that's the devil you know, the devil you don't. With Peyton Manning's, you know, football guidance ability, which we don't know.
Could be really great.
His new could blood be, may be bad.
Could be.
And I'm, you know.
But do you want more of the same?
That's where I don't know where I come down just yet.
I believe in sometimes change is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And while let's give, you're way harsher on Elway than I am, there are things to, and you make valid points, and I'm not saying that you're wrong on any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
He did play a role in this team changing its roster, and while PFM was the big magnet for free agents, John Elway played a role in that, played a role in Elway and Manning being in Denver, and them being able to get to two Super Bowls and win one. You can't take that away from him.
But I
agree with what you're saying. It wasn't like there was this tremendous success throughout the course of his time as the GM. There were the mountains were very, very high.
Right.
And the peaks and the valleys were very, very low.
To credit him for the Super Bowl runs is to also say that he had a very heavy hand in turning a 12-4 team into a 5-11 team. You also have to go that route. If you're going to credit him for what he did with Brian Zander as the GM, in name, you also have to give him the blame for 5-11, 6-10, 7-9, 5-11. That's tied into it. You can't just separate. Anyway, they went to two Super Bowls in 3 years. Well, yes, since then, he had 5 years at the helm and was able to get north of 500 once.
Yeah, but there are people are going to say that Elway, when Brian Zanders was there, he was the director of player personnel. Elway was.
Mm-hmm.
So he did play a role along with Brian Zanders
And I understand that. And I'm not taking away the fact that he helped build a team that went to two Super Bowls in 3 years.
Right.
But I'm not saying that. But also, if you're going to run that up the flagpole, right underneath it has to be, he took a 12-4 team and turned it into a 5-11 team. He wasn't once he lost Peyton Manning, he wasn't able to build a 500 team anymore.
And I agree. The free agents, the big name free agents, stopped coming. There were things that he did right. I still think the Brock Osweiler decision not to resign him was the right decision for the money that Osweiler wanted. The failure to build a really good offensive line, that's on him. And obviously the failure to the position that he knows best.
Right.
To find the replacement for Peyton Manning. Those are things that I agree with you are on his desk, are part of the resume.
They've had five different leading passers in the past five seasons.
That's not good. The number of quarterbacks that have started for this team, starting to rival what the Browns have done in the past.
Getting there.
Not quite there, but working its way there.
Right. I will say 7-9 and 7-10 are a lot easier to stomach than 2-14.
Absolutely.
So
totally agree.
But Simeon, Keenum, Flacco, Locke, Bridgewater, you know, then the Paxton Lynches and all the guys that aren't leading passers from the last 5-6 years, that's part of me to where I'm like, yeah, let's freshen it up maybe, and let's see what Peyton Manning can do. But also, you look at Dan Marino. Outside of having Peyton Manning, look at John Elway. great quarterbacks aren't great stewards of franchises. Outside of having Peyton Manning, John Elway's not been able to build a winner. And yes, quarterback is very important, and he had one of the best to ever do it. But, I mean, Peyton Manning came in 2012 from a team that was, you know, the 6 years before that, 9-7, 7-9, 8-8, 8-8, 4-12, 8-8. Peyton Manning, 13-13, 12-12. Peyton Manning goes away. 9 wins, 5 wins, 6 wins. Yeah. So it's not like it's just John Elway that hasn't been able to find the next John Elway. It's been whoever's been there since. But great quarterbacks don't seem to be great stewards of franchises when they have a hand in trying to build the team.
Right, and I don't know what the Manning role would be. I don't know what that would look like.
We both know he wants to be hands-on.
Right, and
he doesn't want to just stick his name on it and then go film nationwide commercials all day.
Right. I would like to think that Manning would look at this with the perspective of, look, I have a lot of knowledge here. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of experience. But so do others. I get a sense from Manning, he has a respect for the opinion of others. May not always be a case when he was a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Because he felt like, I have to be the guy that runs the show here. But it wasn't like you never heard of Manning rejecting opinions from wide receivers,
right,
or other people, or shouting down a Mike McCoy and Adam Gase. No, that's stupid. We're not going to do that. There seemed to be a sense of
collaboration
and mutual respect. Manning drove the bus. Let's be honest, as far as the Broncos offense.
Yeah. But he let other people on it.
Yeah, but it never seemed to be a case of, it's my way or the highway. We're doing it my way, and if we don't do it my way, we're not doing that. Or you have an opinion, I'm going to go, well, you're an idiot.
And don't
you realize who you're talking to? I never got that vibe from Manning.
I never did either. And while it wasn't overwhelming or overriding, there's a little bit of that vibe for John Elway, right? Under the drafting, and I never got the sense that there were a ton of voices in the room once Gary Kubiak left.
Because Gary was his caddy forever, and
they were boys.
Back up there, they were buddies.
You know, I never got the sense that, you know, he really took any opinion into account. And with some of the staff that he let be assembled underneath him under Vance Joseph and Vic Fangio, there's not many voices there that need to be listened to in John's defense. But I always, like I said, it wasn't overriding. It wasn't just everybody that walked out the door is like, man, that dude just doesn't listen to anybody.
The guy's a total jerk.
But it kind of felt that way. And maybe that's just me from the outside looking in. It kind of felt that this is John's show. And if you don't kind of bow to that, then you're probably not going to be in the room. You know what I mean? And it just shows with draft picks like Paxton Lynch, you know, what's his face? Chad Kelly.
Yeah.
And Chad Kelly was more of a personal thing. It's not that he didn't have the skills. He didn't have the between the head.
Yeah, and Chad Kelly was a low-risk, late-round pick.
Yeah.
Guy, low-risk.
But maybe not, he doesn't go on the head scratcher list, but there's some that's like, really? You're going to use that pick on that guy? Okay. He got some right. He got some wrong.
Garrett Bowles.
Yeah. That's probably a wrong one.
Sylvester Williams.
I don't know.
Remember, he was a first round pick? I think, late first round?
I believe so.
Defensive tackle. Bradley Roby is a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Roby had good moments.
Sylvester Williams, 28th overall, 2013, yeah.
So, you know,
Bradley Roby, he was a first-round pick, and he was...
Okay.
Okay. Shane Ray, first-round pick. You know, Paxton Lynch, first-round pick. Garrett Bowles. Bradley Chubb, yeah, we'll lean that way.
Okay.
Noah Fant, sure. There's some issues there, sure. But, and then his last one was 2020, right, with Jerry Jeudy. Yeah, that's a good one.
Could
I'll put him as a good one right now.
Yeah, the jury's still kind of out because Jerry didn't have a great year, but it was also a injury-plagued season as well.
It's not lack of, like, he just missed on the guy.
Right.
The guy's been hurt. And you know what? As critical as I am, I will, when I feel it's necessary, give him the benefit of the doubt. He also did, you know, spend a second rounder on Cortland Sutton. Justin Simmons was a third rounder. You know, and while some of them are no longer with the team, there are some good players that Ty Sambrylo was a second rounder. DeMarcus Walker, second rounder. Isaiah McKenzie, who flamed out with the Broncos, but he stuck in the NFL. You know, he was a fifth rounder, so he's still on a roster somewhere. It's not the Broncos. Josie Jewell was a fourth rounder.
So you're pointing out some of the things that were positive and negative.
He's got some good draft picks. His first rounders have not been great on the whole, but he's gotten some steals. Draymond Jones was the third rounder.
Yeah, I mean there've been good moments, good drafts.
Mm-hmm. His best draft may be the 2019 draft.
Yeah, probably so.
Fant, Reisner, Jones.
So your thoughts on who would you rather be? Which former Bronco great would you rather have be part of the ownership group of the Broncos going forward? Manning or Elway? Text or call us today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. Coming up, Mark Johnson will join us from Tucson, Buffs, and Arizona tonight. Pregame at 8:30 on the team. Let's get to
what's happening.
All right, the Mannings and John Elway could square off as groups are coming together to bid on the Denver Broncos. Gazette columnist Woody Page is reporting that Peyton, Eli, and the Manning family are part of a group that will bid on the team, with current Denver head of football operations John Elway leading another group. There also have been reports of Amazon founder Jeff Bezos and rapper Jay-Z involved in possible ownership groups. Broncos CEO Joe Ellis hopes to have a new owner in place sometime this year. The Colorado State men's basketball team bounced back after their first loss of the season to beat Utah State 77-72 last night in Fort Collins. After losing to San Diego State by 30 on Saturday, the Rams regrouped behind 24 points from David Roddy and 22 from Isaiah Stevens. CSU improves to 13-1 and 1-1 in the Mountain West Conference. The Fruto Monument Wrestling team claimed the Valley bragging rights at last night's jackpot duels at Palisade. Wildcats coach Lucas Archuleta was out with COVID, but his team responded with 131.5 points as 106-pound Gino Gallegos won a title for the Wildcats. Grand Junction was second with 115 points, with the Tigers' Murphy Harris winning at 113. The Warriors took third with Central's Javian Hernandez winning at 220. Palisade was fourth with 60 points. Colorado School of Mines will join Colorado Mason looking for a new head football coach. 65-year-old Greg Brandon announced his retirement effective February 1st after guiding the Ore Diggers to the RMAC title and a berth in the D2 semis. Brandon coached Mines for 7 years with 4 RMAC titles and 4 national playoff appearances. Brandon played defensive back for then Mesa College in Grand Junction in 1974, went on to play at Northern Colorado before going on to be an assistant coach at Wyoming. He went on to join Gary Barnett's staff at Northwestern in Colorado. He was also the head coach of Bowling Green. Brandon's final season did include an incident with Mines professor Ning Yu, who accused Brandon and his staff of disrupting a lecture. Mines athletic director David Hansberg told the Denver Post that incident had nothing to do with Brandon's retirement.
If I'm the professor, though, I won the showdown with a football coach. That's how I'm playing it.
I'm here, and he's not anymore. The Colorado Mesa men's basketball team's back at Brownson Friday and Saturday to play Metro State and CCU. For the Mavericks, Trevor Baskin's coming off a career-high game against Black Hills State when he dropped in 33 on the Yellow Jackets. For the Cougars of Colorado Christian, they have one of the conference's top scorers in Ross Williams. Baskin says Colorado Christian has a lot of movement in its offense that makes defending a real challenge.
We know how talented they are scoring the ball. The way they run their offense is just very difficult to prepare for. They're always moving. They're always setting screens. They're always doing something, which can honestly tire the defense out. And especially since we don't have the amount of depth that we would like, it'll definitely be a big challenge. We're looking forward to it.
Mavericks play Colorado Christian on Saturday. You can hear that game on 1100 KNZZ, 92.7 FM, pregame at 5:15. Women tip it at 5:30, men around 7:30. And then tomorrow night, the Mavericks will be on the team CMU Sports Network when they take on Metro State. Women's pregame at 5:15. Men tip it around 7:30. Maverick basketball brought to you by Ken Richards, State Farm Insurance. And that's
what's happening.
All right, Jim the Buckeye boy. So which former Bronco legend would you want being involved in the ownership group of the Broncos going forward? Peyton Manning or John Elway? Give us some thoughts on that today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. We'll take a break, and Mark Johnson voice of the Buffaloes, joins us next on The Jim Davis Show.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The team. It's time to talk Buffs with CU voice Mark Johnson on The Jim Davis Show on the team.
And joining us right now from Tucson, Arizona, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes and all the call on the team tonight, the Buffs at Arizona, Mark Johnson joins us. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Jim, good morning from way down near the border.
Well, thanks for coming on this morning. And first off, congratulations on the latest addition to the Johnson family. Another little sweet grandchild for you to spoil and get back to the parents when your granddaughter starts crying.
There's no doubt about that. Yeah, that happened late Saturday night. It was almost midnight. So she was born on January 9th. And we were just tickled. And so finally on Monday, I got to see her for the first time, obviously. I've said it before. When my first grandchild was born for the fifth time in my life, I fell in love. And now it's happened for a sixth time. So it's awful sweet. And we're just, like I said, happy as can be.
Well, Buckeye Boy's excited because your latest edition, born on the same day as one Buckeye Boy.
Well, I'm not sure how I feel about that unless you told me that.
I'm not sure how I feel about that either for you, Mark. I'm hoping that your new edition can overcome the poor legacy of one Buckeye Boy being born on January 9th.
Well, yeah, I'm going to have to. Boy, you just got me back on my heels right now. I'm going to have to. Maybe next week I can kind of give you a full reaction. Back.
Okay.
But, right, yeah, I'm going to have to call my wife and my daughter and have conversations with them now because, I don't want to say the die's been cast. I just want to say that maybe a black cloud's been hung over the child.
Well, maybe we'll clear it out with this name instead. How about Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin?
Well, that's not too bad.
Yeah, see, that's pretty
getting
good.
Better.
Okay. So January 9th of this. You know, to some extent has been at least saved a little bit in that regard. But my goodness gracious, yeah. That's not the kind of news I needed at 7:30 in the morning, Jim.
I'm sorry.
Put me back on my heels.
He was so excited. He's like, yes.
I was pretty pumped
born
up.
The same day as me. Yay.
And I will bring up Dave Matthews same day.
He was very, very excited. And so I thought I would, for late birthday present for my colleague,
yeah, thank you.
That we would share that with you. And maybe they could perhaps go back on the birth certificate and maybe bump it back to January 8th or move it ahead to January 10th.
Well, sure, it's only about 39 minutes or 40 minutes from January 10th. So.
Yeah, so.
Well, you know what? Yeah. I believe the child is blessed. So, she will overcome this obstacle early in her life. We've all got to learn to overcome obstacles. Children have to learn to overcome this.
Exactly. This could be a positive life challenge.
Character builder.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, when she grows up and people ask her, do you share a birthday with anybody famous? She will tell them, well, it started out, I found out very early I shared it with the Buckeye Boy, but yep. I was able to overcome. We all have to bear our cross, and I'll be hers.
Absolutely. No doubt about that. Mark Johnson joining us today. Mark, Buffs coming off the win against Washington 78-64, and for Colorado now 11-3 on the season. Tristan Da Silva had a big game against the Huskies with 22 yep. points. Jabari Walker chipped into 11. And Julian Hammond III with a 14-point game in just 12 minutes scored 14 points. Pretty good effort by the Buffs against the Huskies.
You know, they looked very good. In fact, you look at both of those ball games that they played against the Washington schools, Washington State and UW. And I think after that 19-day break, you never know what the team's going to look like coming out of that. And certainly before that, we were talking about some of their inconsistencies on offense for a young squad. Well, they look very good in both those ball games. Julian Hammond, you mentioned, we've talked many times about Tristan Da Silva. You know, he's an outstanding player, and I think a young guy that's growing and growing. Julian Hammond is a guy we're still trying to figure out, but the more you see him, the more you like him. And, being a great quarterback for Cherry Creek High School there in the Denver area and had an opportunity to play college football. And then Tant was talking the other day about not sure if he was going to play basketball or football, and so they kind of stayed away from him for a little while because they assumed he was going to play football. Well, when he finally declared, listen, I want to be a basketball player, he's got that quarterback kind of feel about him on the court. He kind of carries himself. He doesn't get rattled. He doesn't get like a leader, and he doesn't get rattled and doesn't get shaken much out there. So he's kind of an impressive guy. He's remember Xavier Tolton from a few years ago from Sterling, Colorado? he's that kind of player, and I think might be a bit more athletic than what Xavier was. And so Xavier turned out to be a very nice player for 4 years for Colorado. And so if he can be in that mold, if not even better, I think that's a good thing for Colorado. But, yeah, he's coming along.
Voice of the Buffalo's Mark Johnson joining us today from Tucson. The Buffs have Arizona tonight on the Team Sports Network. Pregame starts at 8:30 for that one. The Buffalo's currently fourth right now in the Pac-12 with Arizona 2-0 starting conference play. Mark, 12-1 on the season for the Arizona Wildcats. They lead the nation in scoring and assists, and they've had the shortest average possession length in the country. And so it's going to be kind of a battle of two different styles. Buffaloes like to play at a slower pace, as you well know. They work hard on the defensive end, and for Arizona, they like to get up and down the floor and score quickly. It'll be fun to see the contrast tonight between these two teams.
Yeah, Arizona, I'm just looking at their numbers here before you called, where they rank in the conference, and, their offense is pretty special. Number one in scoring, number one in field goal percentage, number one in assists, number one in you just go on down the line, they're up near the top, they give a number two with three-point shooting, and so they like to score the basketball. And although Colorado, you wouldn't call them they're not like Virginia, where they really like to slow it down. They're not afraid to get out and run a little bit, but I don't think you want to get out and run with a team that's averaging 90 points per ball game. I think Colorado feels comfortable if the game's in the 70s. Maybe the high 70s, maybe 80. They scored 83 against Washington State. But you start getting up into the 90s, that's a lot of points in a college basketball game. They do that all the time in the NBA. But in a college game, that's a lot of points. And so, yeah, I think defense is going to be a premium tonight for Colorado. It's not that they have to shut them down, because Colorado can score. They have to slow them down and just not allow them to get to their average tonight.
Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes, joining us from Tucson today on the Team Sports Network. Benedict Mathurin, can you help with this one, Mark?
Mathurin,
thank you. Yep. Mathurin, thank you. Yep. Mathurin, almost 19 points per game. He's got off to a great start for the Arizona Wildcats this season.
Yeah, 6 foot six, 195 pounds. Wing guy, and that's the thing. When you look at Arizona, it's like when you play UCLA, or you go and play. When I was at Syracuse, or when you play Duke, they've always got athletes without question. And even though you got a coaching change and somebody new is coaching down here, they're still bringing high level athletes. Jim, it's interesting too, because you look at the Pac-12. I was asked this on a show yesterday. I said, "What's your take on Pac-12 basketball?" I said, "Well, you got three elite teams right now. You've got a second level, I think, of teams that are very good. Colorado's in that. And you got a third level that, like a lot of conferences, where maybe they're not great teams and they can beat anybody on a given night, but not regularly. Arizona's in that elite level team. And in fact, I think they might be the best team in the Pac-12. And what a challenge you've got for Colorado. Think about this for a second. In the next roughly, 10 days or so, Colorado's going to play three top six teams. They're going to play all three of those, because you got Arizona tonight, Arizona State presumably on Saturday, up in Tempe, and then you've got the two L.A. schools, UCLA and USC, who just lost to Stanford, but still is a top six team right now, coming to town next week. So this is one heck of a challenge you've got coming up here to Colorado.
Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network, and here's where I have to bring up one of those ugly truths, Mark, that you don't want to hear, but you know what I'm talking about, and you probably know where I'm going.
Are you going to bring up something that's going to shake me worse than your new granddaughter shares a birthday with Buckeye Boy?
No, I don't think so. I'm hoping not, but right at Tad Boyle, he's only 7-23 against Arizona, yeah. Not one of the McHale Center, 0-9, and Colorado, if I remember the number correctly, they haven't won there since 1960. Is the last time I saw it? The last time they won in Tucson? So
I think that's right. Well, remember that 0-9 is with an asterisk. Remember, Sabatino Chen would argue differently that they did win it.
Very
true. But yes, you are correct in terms of the official numbers, yes.
Yeah, you're exactly. 2013 for Sabatino Chen, by the way.
That's right.
Yeah. Should have been a win. But
without question.
But can they get over the hump tonight? This is, like I said, a good Arizona team. It's going to be a challenge with what they bring to the table in terms of their scoring ability. But can the Buffs get it done? Something that hasn't happened since, before you and I were born.
That's right, yeah. I think they certainly can. It is a heck of a challenge without question. I mean, this is, like I said earlier, this might be the best team in the Pac-12. And so anybody's beatable, obviously. I mean, we saw Colorado beat Stanford here earlier this year, and Stanford just beat USC. And so anything's possible. Colorado's going to have to play a very good game. And when you got a young team like this, it's a great challenge from a And I think this is kind of a measuring stick game, to be honest with you, is Colorado's going to learn. You know, they played UCLA at UCLA. Played them tough. Still got beat by, what was it, 12 or something. Didn't have a great performance against a top 15 team in Tennessee earlier this season. And so this is a great opportunity now. After some time, some number of weeks have gone by, they had that 19-day break. They worked on a number of things. They appear to be playing better. This is a measuring stick game. Okay, can you go out and play, especially on the road against a team of that level, and, you know, maybe knock them off their home court? I think it's a great opportunity, great challenge. Can they? Sure they can. Are they going to? I don't know. We'll find out, I guess, tonight. Certainly the odds are stacked against them, I would say.
Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes, with us today on the Team Sports Network. Mark will have the call tonight, and we'll have it on the games, or on the team, starting with pregame at 8:30 this evening. I do want to talk some Buffs football for a moment with the coaching staff changes for Carl Durrell, and among them was the decision, or the announcement that God did a great job in coaching up Carson Wells. Brian Michalowski, the Buffalo's outside linebacker, was not going to be retained. So we've seen some changes over the last couple of days, some coaches departing to Oregon and other spots as far as on the defensive side in particular, Mark, but a lot of changes for Carl Durrell's staff the last week or so.
Well, you think about, so Brian Michalowski is gone, the outside linebacker's coach, and part of that, when you kind of read the tea leaves here, because they brought in that DeSoto, the coach from UCLA, to coach the defensive front. Now, who had been coaching the defensive front? The defensive coordinator, Chris Wilson, had been doing that. And so I wondered, when I saw that move, I wondered, okay, they bring in a very, what's supposed to be a top-level defensive line coach. You don't want to fire your defensive coordinator who had a very high odds. They got to find a spot for him, so he's going to coach outside linebackers, is my understanding. You also had a couple of one secondary coach decide to leave. Demetrius Martin moved on. Also, on the offensive side, Brian Cook, the tight end coach and the quarterback coach, has decided, Danny Langsdorf decided to leave as well, or had not decided to, was dismissed, actually, from the staff. So, you know, I'm not terribly surprised by this. They always say that Gary Barnett always tells me, year number two is always the most difficult coaching season for any coach. So Carl was in year number two. Although this is year number two, he just finished up here, it's really the first year he had an opportunity to fully evaluate everything because of the COVID year, right? So, you know, they only played six games in 2020. And so I'm not shocked by any of this. I kind of figured there'd be a lot of change and rollover because Carl now has gotten a full sense of everything and said, okay, now I get to evaluate and make my changes and really build the staff the way he was hoping to build it. So not shocked. I think CU fans should be excited about, you know, what the changes that are coming. Carl's really putting his imprint on it now. Now by the time we get to season number three and September of 2022 rolls around, This is Carl Durrell's machine now that he's built and moving forward here. And so we'll get a real sense of things, I think.
Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes, with us, joining us today from Tucson on the Team Sports Network. I know that you were busy with new granddaughter on Monday, but I'm sure you probably had a chance to watch some of the national championship game. Your takeaway from Georgia knocking off Alabama.
Well, awful impressive, number one. Number two, I think for any of us that had Alabama fatigue out there, it was kind of exhilarating and fun to watch that. Number three, we knew going into the season that Kirby Smart in Georgia was going to have a special defense. Now, things didn't turn out well for them the first time they played Alabama, but give credit to that coaching staff for making some adjustments. And they made some great plays. And it was awful fun to watch Georgia win the title for the first time, 40 years or whatever it was. And Stetson Bennett is a great story, a guy that walks on at Georgia, ends up becoming a national championship-winning quarterback. And so, yeah, it was a high-level game. I thought it was a fun game to watch. If you love college football, you should have loved that game because it was very enjoyable from start to finish.
And, look, I love seeing Stetson Bennett with the ugly cry at the end of the game. I mean, kid was a walk on. I mean, come on, if any of us were him, we'd be ugly crying too. I mean, walk on kid, you just won the national championship. Jeez, and then the next day, I think he was on Good Morning America or one of the morning talk shows, where it seemed like Stetson probably had about 19 beers between the end of that game and probably hadn't got more than a half an hour of sleep between winning the national championship game and making some of those early morning talk show appearances. He looked a little like, he was dragged through a knothole backwards, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, first off, I've always said there really is one way to cry, and that's ugly crying. There
exactly.
is no pretty crying, I don't
no,
think,
no.
you know? But secondly, you know, it reminded me, you know, when Syracuse won the national championship, the next morning when I was calling the games, you know, everybody wants to do an interview. All the morning shows around the country want to interview as well. You know, the coach and you know, one-star player, two-star players can only do so much. So the play-by-play guy gets asked to do a bunch of them. I'll never forget, I did my first one on ESPN the next morning, and I had slept about 45 minutes, maybe. And I have always, it's always been kind of chuckling to myself when I thought back. I'd like to go back and listen to that interview because I'm not sure what I said or how I said it or if it made any sense whatsoever. So when I saw the interview with Stetson Bennett the next morning, I thought, well, you know what, I've been there. And that's a tough spot to be in.
Exactly. Hey, Mark, congratulations. It's Janae, right?
Jana.
Yep. Congratulations on Jana, by the way. New addition to the Johnson family. Couldn't be happier for you, Mark, and your family. Well, appreciate it. Great caller. Have a great call tonight on the Buffs taking on Arizona. We'll have it on the team at 8:30. Always a pleasure to catch up with you, Mark.
And by the way, the longer it's gone on, the more I'm okay with Jana sharing a birthday with Buckeye. Boy, I think it's actually a good thing now.
Destined for greatness.
I think Jana has good DNA to work with. She'll be fine. She'll be perfectly fine.
I think so. But yeah. I always appreciate you guys. Have a great week.
Hey, likewise, Mark. Take care. Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes with Jana's brand new granddaughter. And there's a Facebook friend with Mark, and it's got a picture of Mark and his two granddaughters. And boy, you could probably light up the entire North American continent with the smile that Mark has on his face holding his two grandbabies.
His Twitter feed is a lot of his grandkids.
Yeah. Couldn't be happier for Mark. All right, 7:39, and it's time for sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
What do you have, Buckeye?
You know me. I love the videos when coaches hand out scholarships to walk-ons.
Speaking of ugly cry.
I just absolutely love it, and a guy that got one this week is Will Laughlin from the CU Buffs basketball team.
It's a special day, okay? Our staff's been here for 12 years, Coach Rohn, right?
Yep.
Throughout the 12 years we've been here, okay, we've had some really good players come through this program, okay? And we've had a hell of a lot of good walk-ons come through this program, okay? And this year's no different. We got Will, got Bennon, Cody, Jack, Mondo, okay, these guys come here every day and bust their ass, right? And they have been coming every day and busting their ass for 12 years. So there's guys that have come before you, okay? It's the first opportunity in 12 years that we can give a scholarship to one of them. So, Will.
I'd like it. Real quick, just bam. And you could tell by the team's reaction, just mobbing the kid, that
they're thrilled for their teammate. They're
thrilled for that guy. Will Laughlin now on scholarship. See you men's basketball.
All right. Congratulations to him. 7:41. So Woody Page with a report that Peyton Manning and his family will be part of one ownership group bidding on the Broncos. John Elway will be involved in another group that'll bid on the Broncos. Who would you like to see end up of those two? If it ends up being one of those two guys and their respective groups, who would you like to see end up leading the Broncos going forward from an ownership standpoint? Manning or Elway? The Sheriff or the Duke? Text or call us. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. We will take a break and we'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
They're a lot of fun.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
Say what?
On Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back, 7:45. Jim of the Buckeye Boy. Coming up next hour, we'll talk about the Broncos coaching search, which begins today with interviews for the Broncos of the current 10 interviews that they've requested with different coaches, assistant coaches around the league, coordinators as well. So we'll get into that coming up next hour. Also, we'll talk with Jake Aguirre, Fordham Monmouth boys basketball coach, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour as well, along with Four Down Territory. So text or call us 970-242-1340. So we want your thoughts today. Who would you rather have on the Broncos, Peyton Manning or John Elway? Because a report from Woody Page says that both former Bronco greats are involved in potential ownership groups. Doesn't guarantee that either one of those guys will end up being part of an ownership group of the Broncos. The highest bid's going to win it. But if you could choose, which one would you rather have guiding the Broncos going forward? Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line 970-242-1340. Got one from Jeff this morning. Good morning, fellas. I think Peyton would be a good owner. He elevated every team he was on as a quarterback. I think he could do the same thing as an owner. I also think he'd call people out when needed, but I don't know that'll matter. What matters is how much coin do you have in your pocket? He said he just heard it was your birthday. Happy birthday, Buckeye.
Thank you. Yes, and I mean, I understand the hope about Peyton and raising the play of the players around him. You can't do that as an owner because he can't throw the passes. He can't throw guys open. He can't change a bad play into a good play based on the defense that's being seen. And he can't tell the quarterback because, you know, the radio shuts off with like 15 seconds of the play clock. So,
I mean, right. It's, they're only going to be as good as the players that they're able right. to bring in. That's always the case. I don't care, you know, who's involved in ownership, that the Peyton will only have so much, you're right, so much influence as an owner. But the influence that he would be able to wield would be,
right.
would be, I think, pretty positive. You're talking about a Hall of Fame quarterback that still has stayed very involved in the game
mm-hmm.
from a media standpoint, but still been very involved in the game. And I think he will bring a fresh perspective to the Broncos organization. Now the question becomes the first, probably most important question, along with the Manning family, who else is in this group? Because if they're going to win, it starts with winning the bid, right? I mean, that's where it all begins.
Yeah.
We can sit here and say, boy, it'd be cool if John Elway's group won or Peyton Manning's group. They got to outbid other people. And there's supposedly six groups that are going to be bidding for the Broncos.
Yeah,
and we're talking about a record $3.5 to maybe $4 billion.
And if one of them is the richest people on the entire marble, I don't know if Manning's going to be able to put in the highest bid. Unless he partners with Jeff Bezos.
Unless he's got those people, yeah. which he's going to have some of those people right. with him.
When you start to fill your free time by trying to shoot yourself into space, you have a lot of money. And Peyton Manning yet has not yet tried to leave the planet. So I'm just saying, he may not become the owner of this team.
Right. Let's clarify things about this because they're the past people. Well, just why doesn't Peyton Manning or John Elway just buy the team? They, as rich as they are, they right. could buy and sell you and me and
any of us. Why don't
you
just go buy that house on the Redlands overlooking town?
Yeah,
I don't have
a billion
the money.
Times over. Jeff Bezos could do the same to Elway and Manning
yeah.
the same way they could do it to us. It's not like Peyton Manning or John Elway will be the sole owner.
They don't will have that type of capital.
Will they be the face? Will they be mm-hmm. the one that gets designated by the ownership group? You're the one that's going to represent us.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I think that's kind of a given in either one of these situations, considering their experience, that makes sense.
Right.
Because we're making the assumption here that the people involved aren't football people.
I mean, Stan Kroenke is loaded with part of the Walmart fortune and whatever he made his money.
Yeah, the Walton family, yeah.
You know, and he looks at Jeff Bezos with, damn, that guy's got a lot of money.
Yeah.
So,
and he owns an NFL team, an EPL team, owns the Avalanche Nuggets.
He owns a lot.
Yeah.
And he is not, he doesn't play at the table that Jeff Bezos can sit down
at. No. No, that's too rich for Stan Kroenke's blood.
So, I mean, I understand the pie in the sky, right? Like, oh, John Elway's just going to keep moving up chairs from quarterback to GM to president. Now he's going to own the team. Or Peyton Manning. He's going to come riding in on his shining steed and rescue this franchise from the decrepit, not even decade-long losing streak they've been on.
Okay.
And
snark.
Then he's going to own this team. They're not even going to be the principal owner.
No, they will not be.
They will have, like,
others to answer to.
A share. And then they'll be the figurehead. So when bad decisions are made or the team doesn't continue to win, the owner can just stay on his yacht in the Mediterranean and they could just throw the flaming darts at Peyton Manning or John Elway or whoever is the figurehead. That's how
here's the case.
That's
okay,
the way they're going to work out.
You got David Tepper, the hedge fund guy that owns the Panthers. Who would you rather have own a team or be the representative? Certainly a guy like Elway or Manning is more desirable than a David Tepper or a Dan Snyder.
Yeah, and those two guys are in two different leagues, too. I mean, Dan Snyder is in a stratosphere all his own of, I don't want that guy anywhere near my team.
Right.
David Tepper, I mean, the old owner of the Panthers was a worse person than David Tepper.
Well, I'm just talking about Tepper in regard to, Richardson, as bad as guys he turned out to be, he did play in the league. He did have a football background, and it did. I mean, and the Panthers did have success with him as the owner. That's not putting the other stuff, the sexual harassment stuff aside with Jerry Richardson, which led to him having to sell the team, and understandably so and rightfully so. But he did have that background where sometimes you get people that are really wealthy and they're very successful and they think, I'm an expert at everything. And I think that's a little bit where David Tepper is right now. And that's why a guy like Elway or Manning for an ownership group makes a lot of sense, because they know the lay of the land better than the other people in that ownership group in terms of this particular industry.
Sure, I guess, but there are plenty of successful owners in the NFL that win that didn't play.
But they also stay out of it, though. That's the point. David Tepper gets very, very involved.
But, with the Jerry Richardson, he played. Well, okay.
He had NFL experience, right. So,
there's plenty of great coaches and GMs that never played in the NFL that put together great teams.
Well, I'm just talking about having experience with the league, knowing the ins and outs of the league, whether it's as a player, front office guy. That doesn't mean he ever had to play. Mm-hmm. But he had experience with the National Football League. And the smart owners that don't have a football background, they tend to hire really good people to run it for them. That's the point I'm trying to make, is that you don't have to have that background to be great as an NFL owner. You just need to do what you probably did in how you made your money in other industries. You hired really good people to make solid decisions for you.
Right, and I totally understand, and I agree with that. My counter-argument, devil's advocate, is in the NFL, the great players that are hired because they were great players usually don't turn into be great team builders. That's my counter-argument.
You're right, but there are also the Ozzie Newsoms of the world, who had a great track record as the Baltimore Ravens general manager, former great tight end with your Cleveland Browns.
Right. It's not
100%. Those guys. John Lynch has done a nice job so far in that regard. Mm-hmm. But you're right. There's the Matt Millens, absolute dumpster fire that was Detroit when he guided the Lions. There are plenty of those guys, too. And I agree with what you're saying. I'm also don't be quick to dismiss guys that do have experience. You want somebody like a Manning or an Elway that they know the lay of the land if that's your ownership group. Because that, to me, is hiring good people, right? That's having the best person probably in your group represent you in this new endeavor that you're involved in. If I'm going to buy a pizza restaurant, I'm going to want somebody that's worked in the industry. I don't know much about it myself, other than I like to go and eat there. I want somebody that's going to help run it that knows the industry. That makes sense?
I guess that's a different example to me, because making great pizza is different than, being a great quarterback and then having to put together a good football team. The example doesn't line up for me, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm talking about people with experience in the industry, and whether a great quarterback or just they were a great GM or whatever, having that experience, to me, if I don't have it, I want somebody that does, because I don't want to lose money on this deal. Hour 2 coming up.